This is Winning at Life. I'm your host, Gregory Ricks. You're listening to Live Financial Talk Radio. This is the Daily Wrap, 504-260-0995. Yeah, that was the number to call.
I'm your co-host, James Parker. This is it. If you're looking for some financial help, or you have that financial, just that Wile E. Coyote anvil hanging over your head, you don't know what to do, this is it. This is where you can start to find some answers. Call Gregory, 504-260-0995. I'm going to go ahead and say you're welcome now, because you'll thank me later. A lot of crazy stuff going on in the financial world. You know, after all the issues going on with Tesla stock getting halted yesterday, and Elon Musk making some public statements, and we kind of threw around on the show last night that, you know, if he made that tweet about, hey, well, we're going private, funding's already secured, but it turns out that he didn't have funding secured, he could be in trouble for some of the same laws that a congressman got in trouble for today.
Here's the thing. If you're wanting to buy your company, why are you wanting to buy it at a higher price? You know, so, oh, well, I'm thinking about buying it at 420. How about I'm interested in buying it at $299 a share?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so my thoughts on that is he only owns about a third of that company, or the controlling share, so he has to make the deal sweet for the board of directors and other people who own tons of shares who are going to vote on whether or not to do the LBO.
But still, it's a grossly overpriced company.
Oh, yeah, I agree to that. Who's the dupe then?
Him.
The Saudi sovereign wealth fund of Prince Awaleed?
Musk and, yeah, and Saudi Arabia.
They've got money to burn, apparently.
Won't be the first time.
Yeah.
Won't be the last.
And so we're trying to figure out what's going on with the Tesla situation. We don't know all the details yet, and we're not going to know them in the next 24 hours or next 48 hours, but stay tuned. These things have a tendency to eventually be known. And Gregory, if he doesn't come up with some sort of explanation on maybe he had a buyout offer and it fell through, or maybe he in good faith understood that there was a leveraged buyout offer, but maybe he just understood a voicemail or a text message or something, but he didn't seem to have any answers. And there was a lot of pushback. You know, you brought it up last night. I heard some other people saying the same thing in the financial media today. And we got to keep an eye on that guy, because this could end up being real trouble for this dude. And it what was it? Twitter. How many people have been destroyed by
Twitter? There is not enough room for all the disclosure he needs to give when he's going to put something out there. There's documents that you have to go through. You have to have attorneys pour over it to make sure you're being fair. Not some tweet saying, hey, I've raised the money, I'm considering buying the company at $420 a share. And don't get it done. Not at all. So his lawyers are pouring probably over Rule 14E-8 of Securities Exchange Act of 1934 today. So regulation is one that the CEO may have not violated when he sent the markets into a frenzy, halted the trading when he just threw a tweet out there. What was that impulse? You know, it's one of those sayings, and I think Facebook gets people into trouble, Twitter, Snapchat, surely, is just because you think it, you don't have to share it. And everything you think probably should not be shared. And for some people, they really need to control that urge. And we see it all the time. And that was one of those that, yeah, just because you thought it doesn't mean, you know what, they have it connected to their brain and they think it and it just turns into a tweet. You know, that's ugly.
Yeah, or the Roseanne Barr thing where she said, maybe I took some Ambien and I just lost it.
Just because you thought it, said, I want to tell somebody this. Well, don't go telling everybody. Yeah, it's something. He's made him a mistake.
This is pretty bizarre, though, because I don't know. I just thought Elon Musk was smarter than that. Some people are geniuses, but they're only geniuses in like this very narrow train tunnel direction.
He operates, when you get into this, you're head of a public company, it's publicly traded, you owe a lot of debt, you're raising money, you don't meet production quotas, you don't meet earnings or sales expectations, and you have to think about the bigger picture of what you're doing and representing and the amount of money that you effect. And yeah, he's pretty smart, obviously, billionaire, may not be one day, but he operates in a super complicated world that all outside of like, okay, well, let's make the cars do this. He comes up with these ideas, or his team of engineers follows some lead he gives them. But all this stuff regarding, you know, 20.14E-8 prohibited conduct in connection with pre-commencement communications. It is fraudulent, deceptive, or manipulative act or practice within the meaning of Section 14E of Act. I'll just stop right there because it's getting deeper. That's mm-hmm. the world he's operating in, that you've got to go by all these rules. I had somebody the other day, one of the new team members was asking about, you know, how do you learn all this investment advisory stuff and all? And I said, well, I've got some place. If you really want to dig in and do some learning, I've actually have the Investment Advisor Act all written out and everything to do with it in two binders. And they're both about, what, is that 6 inches thick? Yeah, they're both 5-6 inches thick binders of material. Enjoy. Okay. Yeah, I operate in a really complicated world. Well, so does this billionaire with all this debt, stock, and a tweet affects market movement. Be careful.
Well, let's talk about the congressman that got in trouble today. This Chris Collins guy, he's a Republican, and it doesn't matter his political party. Doesn't even really matter he's in Congress. He would be in trouble if he was just a regular guy like me or you. But he's at a congressional picnic, but he's on the board of a company where he has a huge, almost an $18 million investment. It's this company out of Australia, and their claim to fame, that what their hopes and ambitions are riding entirely on, and his investments are riding entirely on, is this drug they're developing for MS, for multiple sclerosis. He gets an email from the CEO of the company. He's just sending out to the board of directors, bad news, guys, in the FDA trials, our drug test fell flat on its face. Hopefully we can recover, but it's not looking too good. He sends a reply to the email. 15 seconds later, he's on the phone trying to get a hold of his son. And after he talks to him, his son goes and divests his shares from the company. And then his son's fiance divests her shares from the company. And then her dad divests all his shares from the company. And then his wife and two brothers got rid of all their stock. You know, this guy was apparently he put a bunch of money in himself. But, you know, the way you told it, sort of the story, you're probably right. He probably tipped off his family like, hey, I'm going to help you out. I got a nice little tip here, this investment.
He got him in.
He probably got him in. I didn't think about that. I thought maybe they all saw the same information, just got in together. But he probably did it first. You're right. And it was like at Thanksgiving. They're like, man, you're making a lot of money. What are you doing? I want to get in on some of that money. He goes, we'll tell you what I'm doing next. Got them all into it. Gave him the warning. They all got out. Now he's in trouble, even though he still lost all his $18 million investment.
That's a chunk of change.
And so this is insider trading by proxy, because he didn't actually buy or sell shares based on the inside information he knew, but he told his son.
But he shared what he knew.
Wow, that's a dangerous law.
Oh, yeah, it's a dangerous thing where it's so easy. Hey, I've got something for you. Got the inside track, and you'd like to be that guy, but you can't.
I'm not so sure I like insider trading laws, but they exist, and the way they're written now, this is exactly what they're talking about. We have the New York State.
Well, imagine if we didn't have them, how rampant and how things would be affected and manipulated. If there was no laws, just everybody like, yeah, we're going to beat earnings. He tweets it 5 minutes before the market closes. We crushed it, dude. Okay.
That would level itself out after a small amount of time, because you know who.
No, it wouldn't.
If Ford hasn't manipulated their stock in 100 years, they're not going to start today.
It's. Yeah, but it brings in that criminal element and stuff. Like, you know, give you a grand. What's happening tonight? You know, hook me up. People know not to ask. The insiders don't want to discuss it. You know, boy, I'd like to tell you something, but I can't. That's about as close as you'd get on me if I knew something inside. You know, I wouldn't even do that. I just wouldn't discuss it or what. If you was to ask me about something, say I was running a company, public to trade. No, I'm sorry, I have nothing to share.
Jeffrey Berman, he is the New York attorney general that's on this case. He spoke real quick to the media today.
Congressman Collins had an obligation, a legal duty, to keep that information secret until that information was released by the company to the public. But he didn't keep it secret. Instead, as alleged, he decided to commit a crime. He placed his family and friends above the public good.
Man, according to the letter of the law, this looks really bad for this guy. But it doesn't look that much different than what Elon Musk did. If he had some inside information, he's just blabbing it. He's letting the public, or letting some of his Twitter followers know before it goes public. Does that count as going public? That was some of the discussion that was being had today. And this
look,
thing.
Look, let me ask you this. Would you, are you a follower of his?
I am now.
I'm not, just to be clear. Would you have acted on it? Or did you?
I did not act on it.
Okay. Look, you have 50 grand sitting in your whatever account. Would you have acted on some of it on that tweet?
No, I don't think I would have.
I wouldn't, because I think he's disconnected from reality.
504-260-0995. If you have any questions, a financial situation, not quite sure what to do, call Gregory. 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. We're Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Hey there, how you doing? This is Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks, your wallet's favorite show. I'm your co-host, James Parker. We're making you better with your money. Today, if you have a financial situation, not quite sure what to do, 504-260-0995. You can also catch up on whatever you missed on demand with the podcast at the Winning at Life app. Go download that app. It's in your app store. You can also use it to call or text the show. So, hey, I'm kind of not as ingrained in the financial storylines as you have been. Do you think Elon Musk could end up in jail? Because, I see the headlines. There's going to be an SEC investigation into what happened in yesterday's trading day with Tesla. But I don't know if they're just saying that to make a sensational headline. Like, if you had to spitball it, what's the over-under on Elon Musk actually going to jail?
You know,
is that an impossible question?
I think it's a little difficult. It just depends on the attitude the SEC takes towards it. You know, they could do this fining thing. Yeah, you didn't give full disclosures and stuff like that. You know, what's going to probably could be as big a problem is all the lawsuits about to follow. But it depends on the SEC's attitude that they start going after this guy. And if they think he's corrupt, no good, flake, whatever, they just get a dislike for him. They'll never stop at that point. They won't. What were they going to give up on Martha? They just decided, or it just takes one person and they're just going to go. So I don't know. I just don't know. It's going to be interesting to see where they go. Is there probably an investigation being launched? Somebody has been tasked today to take a look at that and deliver a finding of facts is what they're, but where does that go? I don't know. Is that somebody they really want to mess with? You know, there's just so much at stake. Is he defrauding? You know, did he purposely do something? Is he trying to get over on somebody? Is he trying to manipulate? You can accidentally manipulate and get in trouble on it. That's my thought.
Okay, so I'm full of questions here. You mind if I just throw some random ones at you?
Yeah.
Okay, so do we have a precedent set? I don't think it's written into law on what counts as making the information be made public, because the first time he made the information, or he said that, he said it on the Tesla Twitter feed, which is 2.84 million people, and then he followed it up with a tweet from his account, which is, how many people are following this one? 22.3 million people. So look, if he lets about 24, 25 million people know with the tweet, you can't get in trouble for spreading information before it goes public, because doesn't that count as public? That's more than anyone would see if it was on ABC, NBC, or CBS. 22 million people aren't watching at any one time. You know, what counts as being made public? This is a new frontier.
That, in my opinion, that counts as being made public. There's more people following him than watch some network news stations on TV. Think about that. But, you know, going back to King of Saudi Arabia or whatever, the prince.
Prince Al-Waleed is the one doing the buying.
It's always a prince doing it. Okay. Ford's market cap is $39 billion. Tesla's present market cap is $62 billion, and they were talking about the numbers being somewhere between $72 and $82 billion based on the 420.
If he sells at 420, it's $80 billion. That's ridiculous.
Yeah. Let's see. What would I buy? A company that can't produce anything, or a company that's got a bankroll that's probably in approaches $1 billion, and it's worth $39 billion, and every truck that rolls off the line, and they have three lines, and one rolls off every few seconds, and they bank about $9,000 average on every truck, and it's their main thing, and that's been their main thing forever. I think, you know what? I'm going to save me some money. I'm just going to go buy Ford. Ugh, that's what I'd do, and I'd say, you know what? I'll give you $45 billion for the company. Yeah, give them a premium. And then, okay, yeah, we're going to start building electric cars there too, like no tomorrow.
Yeah, so that's a weird comparison. Whenever you bring that up, it makes me want to slap my forehead, because we're talking about a company that's had the number one selling vehicle in the United States since my birthday.
$80 billion for a company that can't produce the everyday car that they promise, yet Ford started with that concept and produces a truck for everybody every few seconds. Still.
Great point. All right, my next random question here in this whole situation, because I'm in a cloud trying to figure this out. If he doesn't buy or sell his own shares, and he doesn't have anyone close to him, connected to him, like this congressman did, who's buying and selling shares, based on this new public information that he threw out, where's the insider trading? Probably not there, but there's still other laws he could have run afoul of, like just manipulation. If he was doing this to punch the short sellers in the gut, is that enough to be illegal?
That he did, and he really hates those guys, and that could have been enough to unnerve him, that maybe the short selling increased. But you know what? There's more buying as the price went up. Let me get me some of that short coming there. Let's double up. He just could be, and he wouldn't be the first, but that's kind of how it works. But you know, he's part of the problem. We'll produce some Model 3s, and don't just produce the ones that cost $70,000, or own up to it that you lied about what you're producing and never intended. Yeah, it was showmanship, and you just really want to sell $70,000 Model 3s because you're making a profit there, and you don't at 40 or 35, whatever he said. Just come clean on it. Say, you know, we're just not going to be able to do those. I'm sorry.
Well, that's not happening.
Oh, no, but he'd rather pinch some short sellers there. Well, maybe he didn't do well. If he was giving out insider information, he gave it to all his followers. He did that, but he probably did violate disclosure rules. And it's not what he said, it's what he didn't say. All that fine print that's supposed to go along with it, he didn't do.
Well, see, that's a weird little gray area, too, because Twitter can count as a public statement, but you couldn't possibly put the disclaimer with it.
Well, you know, that's sometimes on commercials that we run for my firm, and we've had discussion about disclosures, and we have to get everything approved. But sometimes they say, well, you've got to say this, you got to say this. Well, heck, that just took up the whole commercial time. So we won't even bother that.
Yeah, scrap the commercial.
You know, we've had it. Well, we're scrapping that because there's more disclaimers than there is information.
Well, it's nice in the two stories here, the Elon Musk story and the Collins, the Congressman Collins that's in trouble for insider trading. They had something similar happen to the company that he was invested in. It was Innate was the name of the company, the medical company coming up with the new MS drug. And when they were going to go public with the release of the FDA trials, the results of their FDA trials, they put there was a halt on their stock as well, just like there was a halt on the Tesla stock yesterday, where just in the middle of the trading day, if you had a share, you're just going to have to hold on to it. We're not buying or selling anything in that share at the moment. But I didn't get the backstory on who, what, where, when, and how the Tesla stock got halted yesterday. Who pulled that trigger? Who was the person that made that decision? And what was their rationale for it? And I was hoping to get an answer to that today, but I don't know. It's almost like people have moved on to the next shiny object. I'm still trying to figure this out because this is a cool little learning opportunity. We don't see this very often.
That is a great question.
Yeah, and it's perfect that we have this other story the next day of this congressman getting in trouble because we have so many of the parallels. We have the disclosure of insider information that wasn't appropriately made public before someone acted on it. We had the halting of a stock. We had it undone. We have the SEC involved. We have an investigation. We have all this stuff. Is Elon at least going to get all his communications subpoenaed? I mean, it's pretty cool when you read up the story about how the congressman got busted to see how they just piece this all together when they feel like it. And if they put this kind of scrutiny on Elon, I don't see how he doesn't get in trouble. But I'm not the expert on this.
Yeah, we'll see if we can have something for you when we come back from the break. I'm just trying to figure that out.
Right. And Elon Musk doubled down yesterday on his Twitter feed after Tesla posted the test taking Tesla private. And then they shared a blog that they had given to their employees earlier in the day. Elon Musk shared that tweet from Tesla to his Twitter feed, which has 22 million people. And he said, investor support is confirmed. Only reason why this is not certain is that it's contingent on a shareholder vote. Now, if he is saying something that is incorrect, knowing that it's incorrect when he's typing it, that right there looks like something. If you erase all the other issues he's having, that right there could get him in legal trouble from my novice point of view. See, I'm going through some more of this Twitter here, and you just read it through a different prism now, don't you?
Yeah. When we come back from the break, maybe we can find an answer to that. We'll talk about some 60-day rollover rules, and let's maybe discuss some of the things you might have on your mind. 504-260-0995.
I'm James Parker. We're winning at life with Gregory Ricks.
Welcome back. This is Winning at Life. It is the Daily Wrap, live financial talk radio. We can hook you up with some information. I'm your host, Gregory Ricks, along with James Parker. You know, we were talking about trading halts. They occur in the U.S. when a stock exchange stops trading on a specific security for a certain period of time. The halt can happen a few times a day per security if FINRA deems it. Usually lasts for an hour, but it's not limited to that. They usually occur when a publicly traded company is going to release significant information itself. The halt in trading for the affected security gives investors time to review the news and assess its impact. There's also pauses. You know, if a security is subject to a trading pause, pause threshold price fill will contain the reference to threshold price that deviates 10% from a print on a consolidated tape that is the last sell eligible as compared to every print.
Can you do that again?
A 10% movement. It moved too much, too fast. And what they probably deemed it is, in so many words, it was a temporary crisis. So let's let this thing, we're going to put a halt and let's let it calm down. You probably had a lot of selling and all of a sudden you had a demand for buying. And there was a quick price movement that was out of the norm. And they put a stop to it. It became a frenzy and they wanted it all to calm down. And that's what a halt does. So sometimes it could be news release, could be something negative. They'll put a halt so it can be absorbed. You've had the stock markets become halted in the past. Why? Things were getting out of hand.
9/11.
Yeah. They're going to put a halt to the market. It could be the rest of that day. Calmness is what they're looking for. An orderly process to continue, not a frenzy. That's when it happens. And it's the exchanges and FINRA and SEC, they're involved with that. They're like, hey, need to stop this. That's what it comes down to. There's some decision makers there, but price movement too quick out of the norm, it's going to get you there.
Interesting. All right. Well, I hope we find out soon who made the decision and why on Tesla yesterday. Hey, we have our next live event that's coming up September 12th, 6:30 p.m. Ruth's Chris and Medry, Gregory Ricks Live. If you're looking to find a financial advisor or some help to guide you along your financial path, this is where it starts for a lot of people. Just come on out. You can meet Gregory, get a presentation, find out what he's all about. We'll get to meet you and There's going to be some awesome food. It'll be a wine pairing to go with it. Some financial wisdom thrown in there as well. And if you like what you hear, well, then we can come back to the office in a day following that, and we'll get started on business. But this is just a good time. Nice, relaxed environment for you to find out more about what we can do for your money. GregoryRicks.com or call the office to RSVP 504-832-9200.
One of the things, you know, you always say the market, there's always a buyer on the other side of the sell, which is what makes it work. So you could have also had a non-regulatory trading halt if there was a significant order imbalance between buyers and sellers in that stock. That could have caused the halt. Once again, frenzied imbalance. We need it to calm down. Let's put a halt on it. Let's catch this up, create balance again, and then let it loose and see how it goes. Just, it's a frenzy. They had to stop it getting out of hand.
Now, was it last summer where China had to halt their trading in the middle of the Shanghai index? And so they halted it, and then they started it up against after lunch, and then they had to halt it again.
Started arresting a bunch of people, sending them off to wherever, and then they started the exchanges again.
Is that what they did? No.
Yeah. Like, you sold too much, you're going to jail.
I think they had to halt it twice in the same day.
You know, they have rules like that. You can get in trouble for selling your stock over there. Created imbalance in our markets. Everybody's got to buy and hold them, no matter what.
Short sellers are not very popular.
No, they're executed.
They're dead. All right, all that done now.
Yeah, I hope that helped you out.
It does. All right, you want to go to the financial topic or do the numbers?
I don't know. I had a discussion about gold today. Have you seen the one-year chart on GLD?
We look at it every day, but that's pretty bad.
You know,
it was a streak.
It was, because one of the questions was today, what I have gold, what should I do? I said, well, you're at a pretty bleak spot when you kind of look at the past year. He said, but I'm not down much. I said, well, then what you want to hope for is we get a turnaround. What you'd like to see is a technical buy, for example. And look, everything goes up and down. Look, it was ugly back there, you know what, no, October, November of last year, and then in December took off sideways, and then it's taken off southward, lower lows, lower highs, technical sell there. And that's what I told him. I said, it's kind of hard. I said, if it was me and I ended up in this spot, but with that said, I wouldn't have, because I would have sold it there back in May. With that said, let's say I didn't sell it, I probably would wait if I still held it, but I wouldn't be in that position to make a decision. So, you know, it's kind of weird conversation there. And I said, you know, you're asking for some guidance and this thing could go further south.
It'd be a little tough, less likely than going north, but it's still possible.
But yeah, but you see the conversation, he's won't know what to do, but look, it's go down another 20%. And then what you going to do?
Or it could do what silver did, where it went down and then it's just gone sideways.
I didn't even get in to ask, why are you even holding gold? Really? Why are you holding it?
Because it sounds good. It's fun.
I get, you know, the guy on TV says going to $10,000 an ounce, and I wanted in on some of that.
Yeah. Yeah. And silver will be 40 an ounce any day now.
Any day. Okay. We can do the numbers.
All right. How long are they going to run those commercials before they have to pull them?
So well, shouldn't they like be in violation or something there too?
Let's ask Elon Musk. Welcome to the numbers segment. This is where we give you a snapshot of what happened in the financial world today. Follow along on the exact same charts and graphs we're looking at, including that gold chart. Go to winningatlife.com and the Winning at Life app. Dow down today, 0.2%, which ends it was on an upswing.
It's all flat. It's easy to do this report.
Yeah, it's pretty flat day. S&P
oil's
was flat.
66.
NASDAQ's flat.
Gold, point. It is flat. Silver, 0.15. It's flat. 10-year treasuries were at 2.953. Let's go to the.
Pretty flat.
Yeah, it's all flat. Let's go to the.
Oil's short flat.
Short sheet. Got to be careful there.
Well, actually, oil was down a buck and a half or so. $66.80, but not much. It's basically flat. All right, now we're on the short sheet.
Yeah, well, it is interesting. Go back to oil. It's $66. Heck, a few days ago, it was, what, 72, 74. Brent crude's at 72, 26. They're kind of low compared to what was recent. So interesting take. But, you know, one thing I saw that Saudi Arabia, you know, the ones that's helping buy electric car companies and stuff, they had a serious production drop.
Oh, I missed that. What happened to those guys?
I don't know. They had a significant production drop. Is it maybe peak oil in Saudi Arabia? Could be. Maybe they just had to run out of barrels and had to build some more.
That's unfortunate because they have the sweet stuff over there. That's like $4 more a barrel.
Yeah, the sweet stuff like that.
All right. So one of our big down movers is Snapchat today.
Oh yeah, they were like pooing on that, so to speak.
What's with you in language today?
Well, different kind of bluntness, but really, yeah, there's like, that company isn't going anywhere. Really?
Well, here's where it gets.
Here's one of the other friends. You know, why would you buy? It's just, you know, who's their clients? High schoolers that don't have no money.
I like Snapchat. And you know who else likes Snapchat? All of my friends that are lawyers like Snapchat, because they don't like leaving evidence of anything at any time. If they can have a conversation to have it go away, that's their preference.
Well, that's not enough people. Well, there's a lot of lawyers, but it's not enough.
Now, I saw their report. It comes to their quarterly report. They actually lost monthly users. So you
see,
yeah.
See?
But hey, they just had,
and those remaining don't have any money.
They just had their IPO last year, about 18 months ago. And if you would have bought, you wouldn't be very happy right now. I'm James Parker. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
Yeah, Winning at Life. And I know what they say. Money can't buy everything. Well, maybe so. But it can buy me a big old boat, a truck, a pull-up, a jet ski, Yeti, 110, whatever. It's what money will do for you. You just got to start saving it so you can do something with it. Maybe don't have that urge to buy a boat or that new truck or that Yeti.
What about gold and silver?
No, maybe you should avoid that too. Yeah, if you'd like to join the conversation, 504-260-0995. I'm your host, Gregory Ricks. That's James Parker.
Hi. Norman, Garyville. Thanks for calling Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks. How can we help you, Norman?
Hey, I appreciate you guys out there.
Thank you.
The thing is about the physical gold. I'm a retired Marine, so I work overseas a lot. I do all them crazy jobs I don't recommend. But I was in Dubai one of my many times, and I bought a bunch of gold for whatever reason. I'm proud of myself. I did this. I bought a bunch of physical gold at $425 an ounce. And the thing is, it's gone up a little bit. But the thing is, with Charles Devane about the silver, there's no way silver's going to get $2,000 an ounce. And I agree with y'all on that. Them people, I can't believe they're putting that on the air like that.
Yeah, they should be in trouble for that. That's like misleading. We've covered these metals ever since we started doing the show over 8 years ago. And it was just like, remember when silver, the government basically changed some of the reserve rules on that. And next thing you know, that thing dropped like, what, 30% or more. But that goes a few years back.
Well, they can get away with saying that in the commercials because silver has been $40 an ounce before. And it really wasn't that long ago. It was just an anomalous spike where whoever sold at that price made a bunch of money. Whoever bought has lost since then. But that's how they get away with it.
And I agree with that to a certain point. But I felt like calling up Louisiana, the ethics board, complaining because they're really misleading a lot of people. And I really don't know that much, but I listen to you guys. I think I'm being self-educated by listening to you guys. It's like we talk about Social Security, and out of our conversation, y'all said basically you need to check on your own Social Security. I went down there. If I started drawing Social Security now, I'll lose $285 a month the rest of my life, and I can only make $17,000. I'm still young enough to work anyway. So the information you guys give me, I just wish more people would listen, because that Social Security is a very gray area. You need to know what you're doing, not going hearsay after listening to y'all's show, I'm happy. I'm not doing that because what y'all gave me the information.
Can I ask him about this Dubai situation?
Yeah, go ahead.
Was it in coins? Was it in bars? Was it in gold dust? Was it like a lamp that looked like a genie's going to come out of it? How did you buy gold in Dubai?
No, I bought it. They call it the biscuit, the one troy ounce. And I bought it, and here's the thing. That gold is pure gold over there. It's pure gold. Americans do not buy pure gold because it's not as shiny as it is, the blink blink. And right. When I come to customs, they can't even detect it in the machine. So when I realized that, I said, hey, I got an idea. And I bought all my gold. I bought it in America. It was less than $10,000. I did it legally. But I brought everything. I bought the biscuits. I bought small, like 2.5 or something. I bought a lot of stuff. I got it in my safe deposit box.
All right. Well, you just beat up the silver guys, but you're pretty happy with the gold, huh?
Oh, I love the gold, but I'm not really getting into, like, go buy all the gold you want. Like you guys say, you got to buy what you buy for you at the time. And I bought the gold. Even when I go back to Dubai now, I really don't buy it no more because, believe me, what I bought, I can't believe I did what I did. It's finally for a change. I did something good. And the gold I bought back then is a lot of money. And I'm happy with what I bought. And I go over there, you know, but the big thing about buying gold in Dubai, you got to know what you're buying right now, the market price. And then when you buy the market price and you see what they're selling it for, you got a little bit of leeway. And then when you bring all them blinking Lincolns in there, they're dealing in cash. We like cash. And that's how I still buy a lot of my stuff now in cash when I go to Dubai.
What year did you buy the gold biscuits?
2003.
Oh, that's a great time. Well done, Norman. Thanks for sharing your story. That's pretty cool.
How often are you in Dubai?
Well, I'll probably go back there next year, you know, and I check out the gold prices, and I kind of fluctuate, you know, what's going on at the time, how much I can afford, but I buy everything cash. So when I buy the gold, it's all cash, and I bring it back in. I got gold necklaces on me right now with the gold biscuit. When I go to the x-ray machine, they can't even detect. I got like 4 necklaces on, 2 biscuits. I'm like, man, I'm looking so good, you know, with the gold on. They can't even detect I got gold on my neck.
How cool, Norman. All right.
You know, my motto is, because the economy's looking bad and it's stinking, Norman's going to look good. Because I'm a good-looking guy. I got the gold on my bling bling. I got it happening because, really, after listening to you guys, I'm glad to listen to you guys because I got it going on.
So I'm honored to be a part of it, Norman. That's very cool. But thanks for sharing your story. Anything to add to that, Gregory?
No, I'm good.
All right.
Hey, it's important. Like Norman said, Social Security, it's not just something you flip on. You have to correlate it. We were having discussions with a couple of clients today and on reviews and started re-looking at their income plan and such and correlating Social Security and the impact of it. And we'd make an adjustment. So one of them, we were kind of looking 8 years out. Now things can change in how you want to do it, but that's part of this guided planning system that we use to see where you are on the path and where you're headed. But it's important that it's part of the conversation, not just its own thing out there. It has to be correlated with other income you're generating, pension, income from assets, the spouse's Social Security, when does that turn on? All that's an important discussion.
Yeah, and he's playing long ball with it too. Yeah, it's $280 less per check, but he added for the rest of your life, every month for the rest of your life. Because a lot of people are like, well, I could get a check now, even though it's reduced, or I could get nothing right now, so I'll go ahead and take the check. No, that's very short term, and you're only cheating yourself, and the math gets ugly real quick on that one. So I really appreciate Norman's input there. I want to add on to that one thing. While we're talking about predictions here, this is one that stays in the rotation.
How do you like that biscuit gold?
Yeah. Well,
it's different. It's probably like this stuff here. It's just like not quite the bar, but it's different.
Yeah.
But you can't buy it with your IRA because it wasn't minted by the U.S. Treasury.
True.
Keep that in mind. You can't use your IRA to buy that Dubai biscuit gold.
Now, this hasn't come up on the show in a while, but this came up on the show previously because you had to tell me what an ingot was. It was in a story I was reading, and it was a gold ingot.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, that's a biscuit's kind of between an ingot and a coin or a bullion. It's just different variations of how they sell it.
Yeah, that's probably like an ingot there. Yeah.
All right, so here is Jim Cramer. This is, check out the date on this, November 4th, 2011. When we first got this on the show for you.
I want to own gold here. I think gold's going to $2,500 by this time next year.
Wow.
Yeah, I really think it will. 18 months from now, I think you go to $2,500. I think that gold's been up for 10 straight years. It's going to be the 11th finish this year. It's up very big.
Yeah, gold had been up for 10 straight years, and then it really hadn't been up for 10 straight years after that. He was predicting by the middle of, what would that be, 2013, it would be $2,500. Here it is, 2018, and it's $1,214 an ounce. Didn't quite make it, Jim.
Yeah, it's darn sure lower than it was a year ago. Tell you that.
All right, if you invested $1,000 in Apple 10 years ago, how much would you have now? So,
just looking at that, what, $9,500?
Oh, you must have seen the exact same article. Yeah, $9,200. Here's where it gets weird, though.
I probably was not looking at that article.
If you invested in Tesla at their IPO in 2010, so just 8 years ago, not 10 years ago, but 8 years ago, if you got in on the Tesla IPO with $1,000, guess how much you would have now? You don't even want to know how much you'd have now. $22,300.
Yep.
And it's all based on what? Yeah.
Hype.
Yeah. And it's not.
Not on production.
It's not sales. All right. Tell them what you got going on down at the office, Gregory.
Our money manager. Sayer of the truth, where are you going to be on the path? What's your risk number? How do you feel about market movement? How's that correlate to your assets? What does your financial destination look like? Where are you going to be in 15 years? Is that where you want to be? What do you need to adjust? Maybe you need tax-free income into the mix. Give my office a call. It's 504-832-9200. Come in for a visit. Relax. Atmosphere. No pressure. GregoryRicks.com.
Tomorrow, we do 20 things the rich do every day that poor people do not. So come back for that one. I'm James Parker. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks is a copyright of Down South Productions for the private use of our audience. Gregory Ricks is an investment advisor representative with Global Financial Private Capital. Any unauthorized use of this broadcast without expressed consent is prohibited. Find show contact information and podcasts in the Winning at Life app.